right, good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, April 19th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is 47 degrees and pretty sunny here in upstate New York. Spring has definitely sprung. My nasal passages are beginning to swell as the tree buds start to open. But it is spring, so it makes me very happy. And I hope that most of you, except for those poor souls in Colorado, are no longer buried under snow. So where do we leave off on Friday? Sorry I wasn't here yesterday, but kids were off, and it was Pops' birthday weekend, so we had some stuff to do. Where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show 21st Century Medicine, Wearables, Nanobots, and Hawking's Warning. Looked at all kinds of fun things. We had been on the Regina Duggan kick from the day before, looking at how Regina Duggan had gone from DARPA to Google to now Facebook, to suck Facebook into the machine as well and bring them into the fold to enable them to use their new technologies such as Oculus Rift to enslave all their users. And yeah, that is pretty much what they're doing. Collecting information, using us as guinea pigs with and sometimes even without our knowledge to be able to collect statistics and real-time information that can be used to create mad science gone mad. Now, I know that sounds a little lunatic, but it's not. And today, I think we're going to spend a lot of time looking at the Brain Project and some of these different little bits and pieces that have been fitting together for me. you know, when we were looking at Regina Duggan, one of Regina Duggan's big things that we discovered she was responsible for at Google, and it's interesting how things are spinning out now for commercialized products with small little startups with wearable clothing. And yeah, I said that the last time. Clothing should always be wearable. I meant wearable computing, where they've now come up with a new technique for producing the circuits that allow it to be way more stretchable so it can integrate into your clothing without any major issues. We read a story on, I don't know if it was Friday, it might have been Friday, talking about how now they can weave antennas right in with these micro thin fibers as they're weaving the material. Regina Duggan, when she was at DARPA, had a project called Project Jacquard. And with that project, they were working on trying, and at that point, it was just basically turning your arm, your jacket arm, into a touchpad. I just saw something the other day. Actually, let me hit my page. So this is beyond frightening. I mean, we had just been talking not even a year ago about Project Jacquard and turning your jacket arm into a touchpad for your computer. Well, I saw a story the other day where they literally now can turn your skin into part of the computer. This one happens to be ultra-thin electronic skin turns your body into an LED screen. And this looks like one of those little wearable electronic tattoos. And we're going to get into that today. I queued up Regina Duggan talking about this technology and how it interacts. My dad and I this weekend actually watched that and dug into some of the swallowable token pills that she had talked about. And that stuff is already in production and being sold through your doctor, mind you, is a great way to be able to monitor and, you know, keep yourself healthy. The swallowable electronic pill that tracks bags and tags, everything. Now, here's an interesting thing. We've looked at this before. The Internet of Things is the next coming, the next evolution of the Internet. You know, they started telling us how great this Internet of Things was going to be because we'd have a smart fridge that could tell us when our milk went bad, you know, right? We'll have the smart thermostat who will always know whether it's too hot or too cold, and it'll be able to adjust your temperature based upon when you're awake, when you're sleeping, when you're at work, save you money, and it doesn't have to be programmed. It can just sense when you're home. As soon as you're walking in the door or maybe I don't know. We could have it set up with your GPS coordinates in the future to be able to identify when you've left the building. The house could then see that and go, okay, let's turn the heat up because she is on her way home. The promise of convenience is what is selling us out to the Internet of Things. But, you know, we looked at self-driving cars and how wonderful that's going to be all in the name of climate change. None of us need to have our own individual vehicle because, damn, they're so expensive. And, you know, then you have to maintain them and you put that dirty gas in there. So we're all just going to share cars, call them self-driving Google cars. And each of those cars will be on the Internet of Things again. So you can look at a real-time map and say, oh, look, there's a Google car not too far away. Let's push that button and get them here in 5 minutes or less and run to the grocery store. We're going to have our human body on the Internet of Things as well. And that's the one part that disturbs me probably more than anything that we've discussed. Because not only is it going to be you, the whole individual, that will be, bink, an Internet of Things, a thing on the Internet, maybe. But it'll be every cell in your body. And as we started digging into some of these new treatments, I mean, it just seems so amazing how now all these treatments involve some sort of nanoparticle or nanobots that will be able to cure you. All it's got to do is get into your blood, cross that blood-brain barrier, and we'll be all set. But don't forget Kurzweil. Kurzweil had talked about the day when we will have nanobots that'll connect our brains to the Internet and make us part of the cloud. Eventually, we'll be able to upload and download our consciousness and wheel out Nana at Christmas time as we download her newest update into her avatar. It's very disturbing to me. I think we're going to go down that path a little bit more. So we had dug into, I believe on Thursday, Regina Duggan, now over at Facebook. Facebook is rolling out their new Oculus Rift goggles, and I think we read that two of the things that she was going to be focusing on was not only the virtual reality, because we figured, you know, big goggly things next to your eyeballs that are direct connect to your brain. Figured DARPA had to be in there somewhere. Yes, yes, yes. So we have the Oculus Rift, and Regina Duggan is going to focus on virtual reality as well as artificial intelligence. Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Twitter, they all have massive AI programs going on right now. So this was absolutely perfect for her. And one of her big pushes has always been wearable computing. Now, Regina Duggan, working over at DARPA, it's interesting to note that one of the big wearable computing pushes they had over at DARPA in the beginning, where they had been working with Intel, and I don't remember the name of the processor, but there's a new processor that Intel has, and we've talked about it before, was the demonstration for it was done with the lady with the spider dress at the Consumer Electronics Show. You can search that on YouTube. I'm sure you'll find it, spider dress. And what was interesting is that the chip that Intel was demoing as a part of that Consumer Electronics Show was a processor that actually sensed the human's emotions and was able to react to biological, what's the word I'm looking for? Biological cues or clues based upon your stress level, your heart rate, right? We were talking about all these biometrics and kind of the next generation of the Fitbit, being able to determine what's going on inside, what kind of brain chemicals are being pushed just by being able to detect vital signs and see where they are on a chart. Now, this Intel processor at the time had showed when the model had gotten stressed or felt like she was being threatened by some outside force, the spiders that had their legs all curled up on her shoulders reacted by sticking their legs out. And, you know, one of the amazing things, and I'd read a few stories about that whole situation, is part of this was being built, this chip was being built to help the military in regards to the battlefield. There's this whole big project going on, the Super Soldier Project, where not only are they going to build them these Iron Man suits that'll be able to give them all these quote-unquote superpowers, but they're also working on being able to control the brain chemicals in the brain. So when they can detect that the soldier is feeling duress, stress, anxiety, they'll be able to push a few buttons and manipulate those brain chemicals so the soldier no longer would feel anxious walking into a large combat situation, let's say. And don't think, I mean, we've seen time and time again that a lot of these research projects start out on the military, start out with DARPA dollars. But then the next thing we see, oh, there's a little spin-off company, startup, spun off of the university that happened to get the DARPA sprinkle dollars that were working on the project for them. It turns into a little startup company, and then they go public, and it's released to the masses through some sort of healthcare division or whatnot. And there you go. Now it's already in production. Those dopamine headphones that are on their way this month was a perfect example of one of those projects. Dopamine headphones, of course, on the tail end of learning how to utilize dopamine to manipulate the brain as part of one of the PTSD projects on returning veterans through a DARPA-funded study. Yes! We also had, and I mentioned this so many times, I just tell my dad about this weekend, National Geographic doing live brain surgery, implanting a brain implant to treat Parkinson's, which of course is treated because Parkinson's patients don't have enough dopamine production. So the way they treat Parkinson's is by producing dopamine. So it's all the same technology there, and that did come directly from some of the DARPA-funded research on that project. So what do I see? So let's look at this brain project. The brain project is international. It's happening at all of the big universities, and governments are all involved in this. The particular one to the United States is titled the Brain Initiative, and that's the one that Obama inked an executive order back a few summers ago for gobs and gobs of financing. I think they started out with about $100 million, and they were bringing in a couple different agencies to work on this within the federal government. The National Institute of Health, the National Science Foundation, and DARPA were the three that are going to be getting the first bits of money. So I see now, guess out front, they had called on $4.5 billion that was required for this 10 to 12 year project, all going to study the brain. Obama had said that this brain initiative was going to be the economic engine to the 21st century, just like the Genome Project was to the 20th century, and now has spiraled into this nanobio hacking technology that we have everywhere. Mad science gone mad, precision medicine, 21st Century Cares Act type stuff. Well, the Brain Project is going to do for our 21st century what the Genome Project did for the 20th. But I just saw a story, it came out the end of March. There's now been a boost for the Brain Initiative funding. And, you know, I'm all for trying to help people who've had some sort of traumatic injury. But I've been seeing some really disturbing things. I saw DARPA award some big contract for very high-end, sophisticated photonics, i.e. fiber optics, that they were hoping would be able to be utilized in 21st century healthcare. One of the things we've seen time and time again with photonics being used in regards to the Brain Initiative and DARPA is being able to use very thin fiber wires to insert them into the brain as a human interface to the machine. And I will guarantee you, that is what some of this new technology they're developing now at the University of Arizona they are planning to use for. March 24, 2016. Now, this is out of optics.org. Boost for Brain Initiative funds in the president's budget request. A proposed budget Now, of course, our country has so much freaking money. Proposed budget calls for 45% funding increase. 45%. Now, remember, when I was reading the very first story, that was from like 2014, and that was saying the Brain Initiative had a $4.5 billion price tag. And now we're talking in 2016, just a mere 2 years later, Obama is calling for a 45% funding increase. Proposed budget calls for a 45% funding increase as the U.S. Department of Energy. Now, remember, we have dug into the Department of Energy. And who is the Department of Energy responsible for? Oh, synthetic biology. And working with DARPA, making all of these mid-science gone mad microbes and biologicals that they want to set free into the environment. Yes, that Department of Energy. The Department of Energy that runs things such as Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, where IBM just handed them their brand new, most powerful supercomputer ever on Earth that was developed and works like the human brain. Yes, that Department of Energy. Proposed budget. I'm going to read it again. Calls for a 45% funding increase as the U.S. Department of Energy joins the multi-agency neurotechnology program. Ding, 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 ding. It is now a big party. The brain. Everybody get your brains on because it's going to be a party. This is very disturbing to me. So we are looking at, and this one, the first story, 2014, said it was the National Institutes of Health. I just read another story that was saying that it was actually the National Institute of Mental Health that was also a part of this. And remember good old Tommy Insel, the just until October, November of 2015, director of the National Institute of Mental Health, who is now gone to work for Google Life Sciences to work on mental health applications. I'm going to look at a little bit of that. All right, anyway, back to the story from optics.org. The Obama administration proposed budget for the fiscal year 2017 is calling for a major increase in funding for the brain research through Advancing Neurotechnologies Initiatives, also known in the fancy little acronym of BRAIN, B-R-A-I-N. At $434 million, the fiscal year 2017 figure represents close to a 45% increase on the $300 million that it got in fiscal year 2016 and more than four times the $100 million that was originally spent in fiscal year 2014, the initiative's first year. The ambitious research effort includes a mix of public and private partners as well as key tools and component suppliers. And it has seen several photonics companies, including the likes of Hema-Astow, Coherent, Newsport Spectrophysics, and brain imaging startup Inscopix, engage with neuroscientists attempting to unlock the mysteries of the brain by harnessing optical imaging and probe technologies. Ding, ding, ding! So what I was telling you about, all the photonics, the former fiber optics companies. I wonder how Corning is doing. Because fiber optics was always a part of networking. Fiber optics are the type of networks that I ran when you were doing like a metro area or a very long range point to point. Or you were looking at a central office like one of the big boys. You would run fiber. But fiber was not... I mean, fiber was not something that you put into the body. You didn't insert here in the little hole they drilled in your skull. No, well, that's where it's going now. Or they're embedding it into things such as pupae of moths to see once the pupae turns into a moth if they can remote control it. And we talked about that. They've been doing some really disturbing experiments like that on animals. In a blog post published by the White House earlier this week, which was at the end of March, representatives of the Office of Science and Technology Policy wrote, quote, This increased investment will support a wide range of interdisciplinary projects aimed at developing and applying cutting-edge technologies to create a dynamic picture of the brain in action, providing the critical knowledge base for researchers seeking ways to treat brain disorders, unquote. Yes, it's all about treating those poor people with brain disorders. And remember, mental health now occurs on a spectrum. Mental illness occurs on a spectrum. Our ways of thinking at some point may be deemed defective. Just by the way we speak, we already saw some stuff with that. Being able to do diagnoses of quote-unquote mental disease by the way you speak, the phrases you use, and how disjointed your argument is. Whether or not the budgetary request is passed by the U.S. Congress remains to be seen, but during a special hot topic session dedicated to the Brain Initiative held at SPIE Photonics West in San Francisco last month, key funding agency representatives said that the program enjoyed relatively bipartisan support. Of course, they're just going to sell us all to the pharmaceutical and the researcher institutions. Congress has even increased its budget in the past, noted the National Institute of Health representative Edmund Talley. And at that same event, Talley highlighted how brain disorders will soon become the most disabling and costly of all chronic diseases for our new socialized healthcare system to deal with, eclipsing even cancer and cardiovascular diseases. And yeah, we've discussed that many, many, many times about how interesting it is. We are now in the middle of this epidemic of dementia, Alzheimer's. Oh my goodness, we think it's transmissible, and not just through surgeries and blood transfusions, but through dental work as well. So now half the world has some sort of brain wasting disease that'll hit them as they move into their golden years that they'll never get to enjoy. But don't worry about it, because we'll have a cure for that. We are researching the brain. We have all these new technologies coming out that are waiting for people dying and desperate that want to line up and be part of our research. Oh, as a matter of fact, look, we now will have half of the children in the United States by, I don't remember what the number was, 2050 or 2020, over 50%, 80%, what was the number of autistic children that we're going to have here in the United States very shortly. But don't worry about it, because we'll have all these ways, again, to try to treat them, to cure their ills, whether it be fixing the brain or I just saw them CRISPRing out autism genes. Is that even possible? Since I don't think it's ever really been determined what exactly causes it. It's like an entire cascade of events that happens. I mean, we have, but I don't think officially they have. I also saw, so we now have this autism. They're going to cure autism with some of these new 21st century medicines. They're going to cure dementia. They're going to cure autism. And it's all going to be for the good of you. Don't worry about it, because here it comes. It is now chronic diseases of the brain have eclipsed even cancer, and we've already put it in the back of everyone's minds that the nanobots in your blood are going to cure your cancer. So that was a job well done. Now we got to make sure that you understand that the brain implant is going to cure your dementia. And, you know, I just saw something the other day. There was a commercial on this weekend about declining mental health as you get older. I saw in the UK, they were saying that because of your declining cognitive abilities over 40s, I think is what it listed, that they're suggesting that people over 40 maybe might be most productive if they only work 2 or 3 days a week because of their cognitive decline. I mean, what a bunch of hooey that is. But you know it's going to happen. You know, they're going to point out now this is going to be a treatment. Come get your brain implant or get your little brain connector that'll connect you to the internet. Ray Kurzweil talked about that. They want to go after That brain-computer interface, that is DARPA's biggest project, I think, and there's many of them, over the last 5 or more years that I've been watching them, is all this brain research. Well, now we're getting this big boost, and we're going to sell it to the public that this is the biggest epidemic ever. But don't worry, because with tax dollars, we can fix you. It says the National Institute of Health has identified 7 goals under the Brain Initiative. Among them, generating a census of all cell types, initially in rodents, but subsequently in human brains, and then develop tools and techniques capable of mapping neural circuits. That's where the optical techniques can make significant contribution. For example, the development of optogenetic sensors for serotonin, ding, 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 whose interaction with neuroreceptors thus far remains a complete mystery. And now there's been Department of Energy funding added. The latest budget request features the U.S. Department of Energy for the very first time. And if the budget is passed, it is set to contribute $9 million to the activity with a focus on developing requirements for novel biosensors, ding, 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 and probes to monitor key molecular processes in the brain. Now, why would the Department of Energy be looking to develop novel biosensors and probes to monitor molecular processes in the brain? I don't know. I really don't know. That's a very good question. The largest contributor to the overall pot is the National Institute of Health, which is set to allocate $190 million to the research effort, and its award will continue to support the initiative called Brain 2025, a scientific vision multi-year plan, including development of tools to analyze also cells and circuits and technologies for large-scale neuronal recording and modulation. And I was going to tell you, it's one of the things that I was seeing in one of these big bullet points is recording the brain, recording everything that's going on inside of your head and storing that information. Don't say I didn't warn you. Of particular note are new efforts toward understanding human brain functions and treating human brain disorders. Of course, it's all for your own good. Notes the White House fact sheet on the fiscal year 2017 request. And these new tools and more sophisticated understanding of non-invasive neuromodulation techniques. Yes, that's being able to manipulate the brain from maybe not even by sticking photonics into the brain, but from putting on one of those ECG skull caps or even just sending sounds or small little electrical shocks through your ear, utilizing that vagus nerve to be able to manipulate brain chemicals. We're even reading about some of the research that they were doing with music and embedding things into music to be able to set off brain chemicals. We already know that you can get a dopamine rush from listening to music. It's very, very possible that there are 10 bazillion things here that we just don't quite understand that maybe these guys got a leg up on. And I would say none of them are good for you or me or our privacy. It says these new tools include more sophisticated understanding of non-invasive neuromodulation techniques, and the studies will understand the signals underlying non-invasive imaging modalities. The National Institute of Health also plans to expand a portfolio of research with implantable neuromodulation devices, ding, 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 via the new Brain Public-Private Partnership Program. So they're doing implantables with a public-private partnership program. And we've seen that a lot of these private companies that are partnering with the feds to bring about some of these 21st century technologies all happen to be funded by hoo-ho rich billionaires from the tech industry. So it doesn't give any names here. Oh, well, there's a clickable link. Maybe we'll look in a minute. So anyway, this The National Institute of Health also plans to expand the portfolio of research with implantable neuromodulation devices via the new Brain Public-Private Partnership Program that will aim to connect academic researchers with manufacturers of next-generation invasive devices for recording and modulation in the human central nervous system. So they can record and they can modulate, meaning changing frequencies and manipulating things inside of you. The National Science Foundation is also planning a National Brain Observatory. The second largest contributor to the planned $434 million pot will be the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, more affectionately known as DARPA, with $118 million allocated, while the National Science Foundation is set to add $74 million. Among DARPA's priorities are to develop prototype hardware capable of read-write. That means read the information and then save information. DARPA wants to develop a prototype hardware capable of read-write functionality with individual neurons. We've talked about this, being able to insert and remove memories. They've already done it in mice with flashes of light and optics. And we saw, too, when we were looking at that ad gene, the CRISPR democratization not-for-profit sending CRISPR technology out to the whole globe, that they already had a package of DNA strands, whatever they want to call them, for $65 where they could develop a mouse, insert it in, and develop a mouse with brain cells that were already sensitive to flashes of light that they could mess around with inserting and removing memories. So, hey, you know what? It's all a big wild party now. You won't be able to believe anything that's in your head once that happens. If they can insert and remove memories, all it's going to take is, who knows, a tiny little pill to make it all go away. The National Science Foundation is also stating that their fiscal year 2017 goals include setting up a National Brain Observatory. And what is that? A National Brain Observatory. And to co-coordinate large-scale brain research projects internationally. Yes, I'm sure that they're probably partnering with that university in Australia that's doing all kinds of brain research, and we see then that they're getting money from agencies such as DARPA to do their research down under, where we can't quite see because they're on the other side of the planet and at the bottom of the globe. But then they just roll this stuff out and go, oh, look, the University of whatever, Queensland, I believe it is. We just came up with this new way to manipulate and control things by pushing a button or putting on this pretty little hat. And we did. We saw that the other day as well. They were touting how amazing it was. We had this paralyzed individual who is now able to play video games just by thought. Just by thinking. And we've seen that research going on for quite a while now in DARPA facilities for soldiers coming back with paralyzation or major brain dysfunction because of injury. Well, now it's rolling out to the masses. And of course, they're going to sell it that you can play video games with your brain. It's all in the name of science, people. In addition, the Intelligence Advanced Research Project Activity, or agency, which is most affectionately known as IARPA, is also involved, and they're proposing $43 million to continue investing in applied neuroscience, while the Food and Drug Administration is also involved, and they will assist with negotiating regulatory frameworks and how it is applied to neurological devices. So, guys, this is just one big, happy, wonderful party that is going on, and it's all going to revolve around you, your family, and our brains. They want our brains. All right. It's still kind of early, so let's dig a little bit more in. So I came across the main page on DARPA's website talking about DARPA and the Brain Initiative, and I thought I just might highlight a few of the things that they are focusing on, because not like we haven't talked about this before, but it's a little bit shocking when you just see it in the bullet-pointed format. DARPA and the Brain Initiative. Obama, President Obama, it says, announced the Brain Initiative in April of 2013. And today, and I've been squawking about this since that day. Today, the initiative is supported by several federal agencies, and we just outlined them all in the 2017 budget proposal request, as well as dozens of technology firms. Ding. Why are technology firms involved? Oh, because they want to merge you with the machine and implant you with stuff. Yes, that's why. And they're all run by rich tech billionaires who want to live forever. Yes. 2045 project. It's supported by several federal agencies as well as dozens of technology firms, academic institutions, scientists, and other key contributors to the field of neuroscience. DARPA is supporting the Brain Initiative through a number of programs. The very first one on the list is one of my favorites. Oh, the ElectRx program. Yes, ding, ding, ding. ElectRx. The ElectRx program aims to help the human body heal itself through neuromodulation of organ functions using ultra-miniaturized devices. So wait, let's figure this out. So neuromodulation of organs that's using the vagus nerve through what ultra miniaturized devices? Hopefully that is not some sort of nano something. Oh, but it might be approximately the size of an individual nerve fiber. All right. So no, that's those nanowires, which could be delivered through minimally invasive injection. Oh, I know what they're talking about. The stentode. That's what it was. Their little stent electrode that can be inserted right up into a vein or artery into the brain to make a direct connect. The second one is called hand. And this is a word I've never seen. Hand proprioception and touch interface, more affectionately known as haptics, H-A-P-T-I-X. That's the first time I've run across this one. The haptics program, and we've seen this before, but this is the first time I've seen a real name for it. The haptics program aims to create a fully implantable, modular, and reconfigurable neural interface microsystem that communicates wirelessly with external modules, such as a prosthesis interface link, to deliver naturalistic sensations to amputees. So this is very similar to some of the stuff that they're rolling out right now for paralyzation. They're also doing it for amputees, and it literally is giving the sensation of touch back. I saw there was a story, I don't know if I pulled it up for today's show, but it's in the queue to talk about, where they literally now have this false skin, the synthetic skin that has full touch capability. It's not going to be too long, people. They also have another group that's working on this in DARPA, and this is the Neural Engineering System Design Group, and more affectionately known as the NESD. The NESD program aims to develop an implantable neural interface able to provide unprecedented signal resolution and data transfer bandwidth between the brain and the digital world. And we just talked about this one the other day. It is like going from a 300 baud modem with the current technology that they have to scream in gig connection. It's all going to be HD, and they just open up all these lanes for high definition, high bandwidth data interface between the brain and their new interface. Very frightening. Another thing they're working on is their neurofunction activity structure and technology project, which is known as NeuroFast. The NeuroFast program seeks to enable unprecedented visualization and decoding of brain activity to better characterize and mitigate threats to the human brain. And this might be part of what I was talking about with the Super Soldier program and those biosensors that can literally detect what kind of chemical reactions are going on in your brain and what your biological responses are detailing about your environment at the time. So like that spider dress, right? They want to be able to actually apply that to soldiers on the battlefield. So when they're starting to feel anxiety, they'll be able to intervene and help that soldier get through that difficult period when they're afraid or they're anxious or they're angry. The NeuroFast program seeks to enable unprecedented visualization. So they're going to have a nice dashboard and decoding of brain activity to better characterize and mitigate threats to the human brain, as well as facilitate development of brain-in-the-loop systems to accelerate and improve functional behaviors. Oh, this is a behavior modification program. The program has developed something called Clarity, which is a revolutionary tissue preservation method, and builds off of recent discoveries in genetics, optical recording, and brain-computer interfaces. They also have the RAM program, Restoring Active Memory. Yes, 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 we can. The RAM program aims to develop and test a wireless, fully implantable neural interface medical device for human clinical use. The device would facilitate the formation of new memories, ding, 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 and the retrieval of existing ones in individuals who have so unfortunately lost these memories due to some sort of traumatic brain injury or neurological disease. And in the future, for those of you who don't want to give it up, and hey, there's not any lie detectors anymore, we're just going to put you into the RAM program. Implant this device and there's no hiding from the machine. We'll be able to retrieve all those memories that you don't want to share with us. Like, I start seeing room 101 when I see this stuff, guys. Oh, but wait, there's more. DARPA's got three more brain programs going on in just this short period of time, since 2013 to now 2016. We also have the Reliable Neural Interface Technology Program, or RENET. The RENET program seeks to develop technologies needed to reliably extract information from the nervous system and to do it at a scale and at a rate necessary to control complex machines such as high-performance prosthetic limbs. Yes. And, you know, in the very future, it's going to be avatars. So you'll be able to have an avatar on the battlefield. And instead of being a drone pilot in a remote room somewhere on the other side of the planet directing drones to bomb innocent brown people in other countries, you'll now have this whole suit that's involved and you'll have your VR goggles on and you'll just be walking somewhere. But you'll actually be in a desert somewhere in Afghanistan in a robotic, mind-controlled body. Trust me, that's coming. All right, and the next one, revolutionizing prosthetics. And yes, this is really how they push all this, is about all their prosthetics to fix all the poor, dismembered, and injured people that they send over into unfounded wars to get injured, to bring them back to be their captive guinea pig system. The Revolutionizing Prosthetics Program aims to continue increased funding and functionality of DARPA-developed arm systems to benefit service members and others who have lost upper limbs. The dexterous and hands capabilities developed under this program have already been applied to small robotic systems used to manipulate unexploded ordnances, reducing the risk of limb loss among soldiers. And yes, they are doing now bomb diffusion with robots. And one of the things that I was seeing is that a lot of these prosthetic hands and devices that they've been developing all in the name of injured soldiers, they are now putting onto robotics because they have now accomplished the dexterity that is required for a prosthetic to be really helpful. Like in the old days, if you remember, it used to be just the hook, right? The hooked. We had actually my music teacher in probably elementary school had, he had lost his arm in a horrible accident. And he actually had the hook on the end. And it was very difficult to be able to make that transition back to normal life, having a hook on the end. And now you have full direct connect to the brain. You have dexterity to the point of micro level where you can pick up small objects. And they've even now started working on being able to feel again with the synthetic skin. Think about how amazing that is. But once they start building these into the robots, and like I said, they're already working on some of the diffusion robots for bomb diffusion, you know, there's nothing they're going to be able to not do. They mimic nature. Remember, everything mimics nature as they're building the synthetic world around us. And last but not least, DARPA's last program here under the Brain Project, the Brain Initiative, is systems-based neural technology for emerging therapies. We've talked about this one. This is the SubNets program. And the SubNets program seeks to create implanted, closed-loop diagnostic and therapeutic systems for treating what? Oh, neuropsychological illnesses. And I think that that is a very good dovetail to go into the next story I have queued up. So yes, we have ways now to diagnose and cure neuropsychological illnesses, all thanks to DARPA and the Brain Initiative. Well, good old Tommy Insel, I've talked about him a million times. Former director of the National Institute of Mental Health is now over at Google, their life sciences division. I believe it's Vera Lee he's working in. And one of the things that he talked about wanting to do was being able to diagnose and potentially even treat, at least in the beginning, bring you in, coax you to go in for treatment, mental illness through mobile applications. Here's a story out of Scientific American. Mental health, there is an app for that. Smartphone apps claim to help conditions from addiction to schizophrenia, but very few have been thoroughly tested. So step right up. You want to get in on the ground floor. The story is from April 6th of 2016. Pretty new article. Type depression into the Apple App Store, and a list of at least 100 programs will pop onto the screen. There are apps that diagnose depression, track moods, and help people to think more positive. There's depression cure hypnosis and the gratitude journal. And the most effective way to rewire your brain in just 5 minutes a day, as well as dozens more. And that's just for depression. There's apps pitched to people struggling with anxiety, schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, eating disorders, and addictions as well. And the burgeoning industry may meet an important need. Estimates suggest that about 29% of people will experience a mental disorder in their lifetime. And data from the World Health Organization shows that many of these people, up to 55% in developed countries and 85% in developing ones, are not getting the mental health treatment that they need. Well, now let's have mobile health apps step in, duh, 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 and fill the gap. And giving the ubiquity of smartphones, apps might serve as a digital lifeline. Careful. Don't put it into the machine. Particularly those in rural and low-income regions, putting a portable therapist in every pocket. Yes, let's tell them our deepest, darkest secrets. We can now reach people that up until recently were completely unreachable to us, says Doror Benzevev, who directs the M Health for Mental Health program at the Dartmouth Psychiatric Research Center in Lebanon, New Hampshire. Public health organizations have been buying into this concept as well. In its Mental Health Action Plan for 2013 to 2020, who knew that the World Health Organization had one of those? The World Health Organization recommended, quote, the promotion of self-care, for instance, through the use of electronic and mobile health technologies, unquote. And the UK National Health Service website has the NHS Choices carried a short list of online mental health resources, including a few apps that it has formally endorsed. But the technology is moving a lot faster than the science. And although there is some evidence that empirically based, well-designed mental health applications can improve outcomes for patients, the vast majority remain unstudied, and they may or may not be effective, and some may even be harmful. Oh, look out. Scientists and health officials are now beginning to investigate their potential benefits and pitfalls more thoroughly, but there's still a lot left to learn and a little guidance for consumers. You know, and here's something to think about. We've already seen how it doesn't take much using neuromodulation, using notes, tones, putting on that skull cap, even doing electrical zaps. I saw they were doing, oh, intracranial stimulation is good for creativity. It's like, yeah, let's all go get some electrical, whatever you call them. Connections, I don't know, to connect it to our skull to go zap ourselves to be more creative. I mean, it's just absolute insanity. What's it going to take for them to start beaming stuff in? They can already do the voices to your head. Now they want you to start answering questions with your little mobile device that eventually, as you, part of an Internet of Things, will be able to send and receive data to that device and go direct to your doctor. Of course, it'll be you inputting it in the beginning, but I'm sure at some point in the future, like I said, they're already working on your vocal patterns and how your vocal patterns can alert them to distress and to future problems that you don't even know you have yet. And I think we're going to run out of time today to start digging into some of that research, but I have some pretty interesting stuff queued up. There's about eight more stories that are going to build upon the base that we built today. So let's finish this story. There's App Happy. Electronic interventions are not new to psychology. There is a robust literature showing that internet-based cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT for short, which is a therapeutic approach that aims to change your problematic thoughts and behaviors. And again, who's determining that my thoughts and behaviors are problematic is what I'd like to know. Can be effective for treating conditions such as depression, anxiety, and eating disorders, but many of these online therapeutic programs are designed to be completed in lengthy sessions in front of a conventional computer screen. Smart apps, though, on the other hand, can be used on the go. And of course, we're beaming internet now to all third world nations and Google Loon balloons over the most remote areas of Africa, so they all can be a part of this program. Be a part of all the programs. All you got to do is get online and get sucked right into the machine. It's a way to get people access to treatment that is flexible and it fits within their lifestyle by being used on the go. And if people are not quite ready to go see a doctor, this might be the first step in getting help, says Jen Martin, program manager of MindTech, a national center funded by the UK's National Institute for Health Research and devoted to developing and testing new mental health technologies. The department, which is the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, joined up with the U.S. Department of Defense to create the PTSD Coach, which is a free smartphone application released in early 2011. Yes, to identify all the vets with PTSD and then be able to bag and tag them later. Anyone who has experienced trauma can use this app to learn more about PTSD, track your symptoms, and set up a support network of friend and family members. The app also provides strategies for coping. It also might suggest that users distract themselves by finding a funny video on YouTube or lead users through visualization exercises. Smartphones can also interact with users proactively, pinging them to ask them about their moods, their thoughts, and their overall well-being. There's one application now called Focus, which is geared toward patients with schizophrenia, and several times a day, the app promotes users to answer questions such as, how well did you sleep last night? Or how has your mood been today? And if the users report that they slept poorly or have been feeling anxious, the app will suggest strategies for tackling that problem, such as limiting your caffeine intake or doing some deep breathing exercises. Can anyone see the cell phone getting smashed? Some researchers see opportunities in the data that smartphones collect, ding, ding, about their users' movement patterns or communication activity, which could provide a potential window into mental health. Here we go. This is the behavioral analytics stuff we've been talking about. Your smartphone is really interesting, is a really interesting diary of your life, says the co-founder and chief executive of Ginger.io, a digital mental health company based in San Francisco. Studies have now shown that certain patterns of smartphone use can predict changes in mental health symptoms, and sometimes days in advance. You will show a drop in the frequency of your outgoing text messages, for example, and that may suggest that you are slipping into a depression. You may not go outside of the house as often or may not go onto social media, meaning that you're not feeling very outgoing. The Ginger.io app, which is still in beta, monitors these sorts of patterns and then alerts the user's assigned mental health coach, ding, ding, if it detects a worrying change. So Big Brother monitoring your behavioral patterns to alert somebody that you are not doing what you normally do and there may be a problem, so go check on Johnny. That's very frightening to me. All right, guys, well, if you can even believe it, that was a really fast hour. I got about 9 more stories to build on this for tomorrow, so make sure you stick around. It is Tuesday. Mr. Kevin Blanche is live up next at 3 o'clock, Coachella Effect with Chuck Coachella, and then at 7 p.m. Eastern, Game On with Ron live. 8 are interesting times with Tim Kelly. Primer time at 9 and at 10. FM Gibson. All right, guys, have an awesome Tuesday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Take care.